Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The last few Sundays of Advent, we've been talking about some wonderful words. The first word was peace, and we learned that if we want to have peace on earth, it has to start with us. The second word was hope, and we learned that we need to be peddlers of hope, because the world needs hope. The third word was the word patience, and it was not the patience to wait, but the patience to keep doing good things while we're waiting for a good end. And the fourth week, I want to talk about a word that nobody really likes except parents, and it's the word obedience. We love to talk about the word obedience when we have kids, and we talk about a child obeying us. But I find that as we grow older and we get out from under our parents' wing, we really don't talk about it much as far as our own life is concerned. I remember one teacher giving me a glowing report about my child's behavior, and I said with a straight face, "That's because he wants to live." And she laughed and said, "Oh, now I see where he gets his sense of humor." I said, "I'm serious." And most of us, even adults, when we think about obedience, we talk about following the rules to help ourselves. When we're younger, we want to live a long life, so we obey because we don't want the wrath of our parents. But as we get older, we obey the rules of society because we don't want to be thrown in jail. We obey the rules that come down to us that we know will give us a productive and healthy life. We obey the health rules. We know that if we do bad things to our body, we'll have a bad outcome. So some of us realize that, some of us don't. But we follow those rules. But I'm going to talk about another obedience today. And that is the obedience that comes from faith. That's a far greater obedience. And when I look at the life of Joseph, many people say he's the one that Christmas forgot. Joseph was Mary's husband. And Joseph exemplifies this obedience born out of faith. When Joseph and Mary were engaged, it's not like modern engagements. In a modern engagement, up until the time you take the trip down the altar, if you say, I changed my mind, well, there's no harm. You give a ring back, you have a few tears, everything's fine. But in those days, an engagement was a legally binding commitment. And it was usually made by the parents. It was arranged marriages. Some say that Joseph might have been quite a bit older than Mary. We really don't know. We do know that he died before Jesus became an adult. There's no record of him once Jesus became an adult. But they had this legally binding commitment. And then he finds out that Mary is pregnant. And this is at a time when if a woman was pregnant outside the bonds of marriage, she could be stoned to death. It was a patriarchal society. And Joseph was in all his rights to divorce her and do it openly so that he could save face. Because in small towns, I'm sure everybody started to titter about Mary's condition. But Joseph was a good guy. And he decided that he would divorce her but send her away so that she would not be subject to public ridicule and disgrace. And then he had a dream. And in the dream, he was told, you need to marry her because the circumstances are a little unusual. Now, I'm not sure if we think about it, really think about it, if many of us would have said, oh, all right, I'll marry her. Because you know that there were people talking and wagging their heads. And when Joseph went through with the marriage, can imagine the things they said about him. But it got worse after that. He had to go to Bethlehem. There was no place for his wife to give birth, so he had to deal with that circumstance. And then after a few years, Herod came looking for that child. And if it wasn't for Joseph taking that child away, going to Egypt, protecting that baby, we would not have had Jesus. Joseph is such an integral part of the story. And the most poignant part is, we don't know when Joseph died, but it was before he ever heard a sermon from his son. It was before Jesus was ever revealed to be the Messiah, of giving him a trade, of trying to protect him, and never saw any of the benefit. That is obedience born out of faith. It's doing something. It's obeying the love and the mercy of God, obeying what God wants us to do, even when we get no benefit from it. That's a higher obedience than just doing what's right so we don't get in trouble. And I was thinking of a modern day saint, somebody I knew that would have had that same quality. And I reached back and thought, of a lady named Meridian. Meridian was a pastor's wife. And this happened in Synod. Synod is the big meeting of the church every 4 years. And I swear to you, all it seems to do is get people upset and annoyed. But we do it every 4 years because, you know, we've always done it. And in those, every 4 years, we have to elect a district president. And you always know who's in running. Now, nobody can say, I want to be district president, because that would be prideful. And, you know, we can't do that. But we always knew who was in running because they would dress better. All the rest of us looked like we rolled out of bed and came to the meeting. But these guys were always dressed in their suits and ties and glad-handing everyone. But, oh, only if God wants us to be district president would we be district president. Well, there were two people in the running that year. And they were vying, and they after every meeting, they'd be shaking hands and talking to people. And after vote after vote after vote, these same two people, neither of them could get the majority vote. And it was getting very frustrating. And finally, the people of Synod got so disgusted that their names started going down, and one man's name, Don, started going up. The problem was, this man was not politicking for the position. He had absolutely no desire to be district president. And after 27 ballots, he was elected. And his wife, Meridian, burst into tears. Because Meridian was the quintessential pastor's wife. She loved being in a congregation. She loved everything about the parish life and being in a parsonage. She loved the fact that she could entertain people in the church, that she could be part of their joys and sorrows. And she knew the minute he was elected district president that she would be a woman without a church. She had not worked outside the home, so her whole identity, everything was involved in the church. And I remember her grim face. Now, the other part was that Don had a heart condition, and so she was terribly worried about her husband taking on this very difficult position. So every place that he went for a meeting, she drove him because she was so concerned. They were both in their 60s. And a lot of the meetings happened in New York City, so they'd have to drive from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania to New York City. First time we had a meeting in my church, she called me and she said, "Is there some corner that you could put me in away from the meeting so I could do my knitting while Don has his meeting with you?" And well, we found her a better than a corner. We put her up in the parsonage, and every time she came, I had one of my family members with her because I felt so sorry for this poor woman who had to sit for hours while her husband had these meetings. She did that for 4 years before he retired. But you know, if it wasn't for that man and for his ministry, many of those in ministry now would not have stuck it out, including me. His wisdom, his skill, all that he did for us was just amazing in those 4 years. But if it wasn't for her, his wife, he couldn't have done it. That's obedience through faith. Obeying God and loving people and doing the right thing, not because it's going to mean something special to me, but because somebody out there needs me. That's what Joseph did for the world when he protected the Christ child. That's what Meridian did for the Moravian Church when she supported her husband. What will you do to obey the voice of God out of faith? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for those that we know in our families who have obeyed your voice. And because of that, we are here today and we have benefited from that. We thank you for those in our church who have obeyed your voice. And we are here today because of that. We thank you for those in communities that have obeyed your voice out of faith. And Lord, help us to walk maturely and in that kind of obedience until journey's end. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.